How many of y'all are grateful and thankful? Hallelujah. Welcome to Sunday Morning Live. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We all look a little bit different now, thank God. Somebody is still trying to figure it out, but it's okay. I want to welcome everybody that's new here today. Again, we really are crazy, but that's okay. You know, if you'd be crazy too, right? If everybody knew what Jesus has done for you. You'd be crazy for Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I have a simple message today. It's a good day to die, isn't it? You know, we are in such, I can't overexpress this enough, that we are such a time of need in the area of discernment, in the area of being able to see spiritually. There's so much that's going on spiritually in the realm. Everything that you see happening in the physical realm is associated with something spiritual. Even the weather. You're seeing storms, and the Bible tells us that in the latter days there'll be rumors and rumors of war and earthquakes in various places, and famines and all kinds of things to that degree. Why does he say that those things are going to be greater in the latter days than before? Well, first of all, because there is more of a fight now. More darkness has been released. More darkness is being exposed. And the enemy is fighting for his life because he knows his time is short. So in that, he's going to do everything he can to deter you into another direction, to prevent you from knowing the truth and walking in the truth. And one of the things I'm going to share today is about the danger of not knowing the truth. There is danger in not knowing the truth. And of course, the worst thing, that worse than danger of not knowing the truth, is the knowing the truth and not doing it. That's even worse. You know? But there is danger in not knowing the truth. And I just want to share a couple of things. And you know, we got to ask ourselves sometimes, why does the Lord give us these things? You know, the Bible says that the Spirit tells us things to come. He begins to refresh us. He says he brings all things to remembrance. And there are areas where we need to come to a place where we need to remember where we came from, so we become grateful of where we're at. You know, even some people in a backslidden state haven't gone all the way back to where they were. Hello? See, backslidden doesn't mean just go back to the world. There are people who are backslidden because they're not fulfilling the will of God. Amen? It doesn't mean that they've gone out using drugs or sex and all this other stuff. It means that they're not doing the will of God. And the Bible says nobody who doesn't do the will of God will not enter the kingdom of God. Amen? Praise God. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Oh, hallelujah! Glorious. Hallelujahs. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay today? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Are you anointed and appointed? Are you ready in season and out?
We'll see.
Everyone, yeah, all right, good. We just made confession, so you know what's going to happen, right? So you better load them up. And get ready. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and starting at verse something. Let's see. Oh, hallelujah. Did I say 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Good. Start at verse 1 then. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the what? Truth. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He's saying something very powerful. He's saying, look at the manifestation of the truth. See, where there's truth, there's manifestation. Does everybody got it? Even if it's evil, even if there's something evil, it's still, there's the truth that it's evil and it's going to be manifested. Remember, we talked, I don't know if it was a week or two ago, about how God draws darkness to light. And if you're the light, don't be offended when darkness is drawn to you. The purpose of it is to be exposed, because all truth will be manifested in one way or another. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 2. That background music, praise God, just gives me a jump in. In verse 3, I mean. Okay. But even if our gospel is veiled or blinded to the others, it is veiled to those who are what? Now, the word here, perishing, means decaying. So an individual is decaying. They're actually perishing because they don't know the message of what? Truth. Because truth brings life. Truth brings life, and truth is light. Now, in verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has what? Blinded. Who have not believed, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So they've not believed. They've not accepted the truth. They've not accepted the light. So that means that they are dying. Everyone in this world who has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is dying. Hello. They are dying. Not that we're everybody's still physically dying in one way or another, right? Hello. See, but when you become a child of the Most High God, you're no longer human. Hello? Humans die. We're not gonna. Your flesh may get a little ugly after a while. But inside, you're beautiful. Amen. You're just beautiful. So don't let the mirror deceive you, okay? Don't be discouraged when you get up in the morning and go, wow! That's when you can always say, he who's in me is greater than he who's on the mirror. But the world is decaying. The prince of power of air, who now rules this world. Do you ever wonder why you bite an apple and it turns brown? Because air gets to it. It's dying. So you and I were born to actually die, but that was the only way to reach the other side now. Amen? Because of the fall of Adam and Eve. So everybody has to be born to die. But this is the channel. This is the way. Did you ever see the movie Stargate? This is the gate, man, to the other side. Glory. But while you're on this side, it's a place of training for reigning. Because God doesn't waste anything. He says, okay, since you're all over there and I'm over here. Then he came through the veil, didn't he? Amen. And he forgave mankind. So he had to forgive us before he could grant forgiveness. And then he opened a gate. That's why Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the gate to eternity. And no one comes to the Father except for through him. So you must accept him as the Savior, the rescuer, to come and get you. But then he said something very important. I've not come just to bring you peace, but I came to bring you a sword. So he would teach you things, how to fight on the side, so that you can make it all the way home. Amen. So that the devil would not prevent you from fulfilling the fullness of the life on this side to enter eternal life. Because many people have been taken captive. Many people have died before their time. What happens is in the world, the devil blinds, and you and I were born with blinders. And only through the anointing of the Holy Spirit are those blinders broke. Because only in the anointing breaks the yoke. Amen? And in that's why Jesus came the first time, didn't he? He came to bring us the anointing. Hello. He came to bring us the anointing. Let me share something with you. Salvation without the anointing ain't working. Hello. Salvation without the anointing is not working. There are many people with salvation without the anointing, and they're not working. Hello. There's more to it than that. There's more than just salvation. With salvation came a complete package. Destiny. And with destiny, nothing is withheld from you. All things are available to you. The whole thing is without the anointing, you don't know what's available to you. Because with the anointing, it brings you into the arena of the Spirit. So that you can understand the things of the Spirit. Other than that, you're stuck on its side, which is salvation. And your hope is, okay, I can't wait to go home. I know I'm going to die one day. Well, I better tell everybody about Jesus so they can get saved. Well, how about tell them about Jesus and the anointing so they can kick butt on the devil? There's a difference. We've been called to be warriors. I really believe that we're the return of the Lord. This generation is in preparation for the return of the Lord. We don't know exactly when and where, but man, you can sure look around about the signs of the times, can't you? I mean, things aren't going to get better. We're getting ready to make that shift in government, aren't we? You know, I personally really believe that God is trying to set up something in Iraq. Not only as an outreach post of the gospel, but as a military post for this country. But the pleasers of men, you know why most of the people in the government right now are afraid about Iraq? Because they're afraid of stirring up trouble. They walk in fear. They're afraid of stepping on somebody's toes while they're building nuclear weapons and getting ready to destroy us anyways. I believe in first attack. I attack the devil first before he attacks me every morning. I'm not waiting for him to come and get me. Then I got to return it. And you wrap him up and put him in a corner. Believe me, I believe in first strike advantage. Hallelujah. Praise God. This country's gone mad. The blinders have gone back on some of the believers that used to believe and walk upright and declare and be bold. They become weenies and wimps. Not standing up for the truth. And by not standing up for the truth, afraid of losing their jobs, afraid of losing things, and afraid of losing material things, they've walked in fear. They've actually opened the door to fear to their own lives instead of standing for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And fear is running rapid, and it's bringing the minds into bondages. This country is being overtaken by darkness in a great and mighty way, I'm telling you. And it's up to the body of Christ to rescue those who've been taken captive. So there is danger of not knowing the truth, isn't there? And there's danger of knowing the truth and not obeying it. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not knowing the knowledge of truth leads to death. It's separation from the eternal Father. People who do not know the truth are a danger to themselves and to others. They're a danger to themselves and to who? Others. They can never fulfill the destiny and plan that God had chosen for them. They walk in a dimension of constant deception. And they pass it on to their children. Does everybody understand that? The Bible tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, doesn't it? And because you've rejected my knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. Because you've forgotten my law and my ways, I will reject your children. So it goes, it passes on. I'm telling you, we are in a dangerous time right now. A very, very critical time in this country and globally and spiritually. Again, they can never fulfill the destiny and plan chosen from their Creator for them. They walk in the dimension of constant deception and pass it on to their children. And the message of deception continues because they don't know the truth. Would you turn to John 8? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? John chapter 8. Oh, praise you, Lord. So if you're here today, don't think that God is speaking to your neighbor. He's speaking to you. Hello. Don't think that this message is not for you. That's deception. You're perishing then. This message is for everyone in this room today. God ordains all of these things according to His will and purpose. Before the earth and all the universe was created, this moment of time was predestined. So is this message. Hallelujah. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me then, please? Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Wow, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will make us free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. In other words, no truth. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would know the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now, he just told this to the Pharisees and Sadducees. You don't think they were a little upset? You kidding? They thought they were holy as thou. They were obeyers of the law, but they couldn't obey the law. They were trying to kill the truth, weren't they? That's what religion does. Tries to kill the truth. Tries to kill the truth. That's what religion does. Well, the truth was exposing them. Why? Because it was becoming manifest, wasn't it? So did those Pharisees and Sadducees know the truth? They knew partial, didn't they? You know, they need to, you know, when people used to go to court, they used to bring the Bible and they'd lay their hands on it and said, tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you, God. They don't do that no more, do they? Actually, I saw it on TV the other day. They did it in some court, somewhere in the state. I was really blessed. They brought it out. We need to bring it out now so they tell the truth and get set free. You know? Get the truth and get set free. Jesus said, I've come to bring you freedom. Amen. I mean, this is so powerful. Truth sets you free. What is freedom? Freedom from torment. Do you know what? It doesn't matter. You know Donald Trump walks in torment? Man, that man's in torment. He's got all of this kind of money. All these people have all of this kind of money. They walk in torment. The only way that people are out of torment is when doing the will of God. Other than that, they're in torment. That's called freedom. Freedom from torment by knowing the truth. So if you don't know the truth, you're walking in torment, aren't you? There's always a want and worry. There is no relationship with truth. But when you have a relationship with truth, you walk in freedom. The Bible says that Jesus draws us to him. No man comes to the Father unless he's been drawn. So you got to understand something. You are here because you've been drawn. Amen? I'll never forget when the Lord started drawing me. And I didn't figure out, I couldn't understand why things were happening. But all of a sudden I began to cry out to God for help. Of course, I'd lost my wife, my children, everything. I was taking showers out of hoses and trying to sell my blood for money. They wouldn't take it because I was an IV user. I couldn't do anything. I lost my businesses, lost everything I had. My house was in foreclosure. I had no electricity. In the wintertime, I'd try to get some heat from the guy next door. He'd throw me an extension cord. Then he said I was raising up, I was costing him too much money, and he'd pull it back. He was always blitzed himself. Talk about torment. But I'll never forget when I got to a point, you know, even my family intervened to try to get me to a drug program, and I agreed to go, but it was a drug program. I went in there, and everybody was huffing cigarettes. I mean, the guy that was on, he was doing trying to tell people how to get set free, a pack of cigarettes in the top pocket, smoking with one hand and with a chalk in the other hand. I said, this ain't for me. And I left there. And I went out and I got in worse trouble. But I was wanting to be free and I didn't know how. There was a point where I was wanting to stop. And I remember the one day, I realized later it was a voice. And it was a voice of the Lord. And he said to me, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol or do you want a new life? And I said, I want a new life, obviously. Drugs and alcohol ain't work. Me wanting to get off the dope wasn't working. And when I decided and made the choice, it was like, you know, he began to draw me then and I didn't know. And I remember this girl I was associated with. I looked at her one day and I said, you know what? This ain't right. And don't even ask me why it ain't right, because I don't understand why it's not right, but you got to go. Things began to change. I realized that by telling the truth, I was getting free. When I admitted I was an addict and I admitted all my wrongs, truth was actually beginning to set me free. And something began to replace this guilt and torment. And it was a desire that there was something more I was supposed to do. A desire to do something, that there was some kind of purpose, something I was supposed to do that was supposed to be something special. You know, everything that you do changes the course of the world. Every decision you make changes the course. Changes not only your course of destiny, but changes the course of others. Everything you and I and every decision we do. Yes, God's got a predestined plan. It doesn't mean that everybody obeys it. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. So in this time, God began to draw me. I didn't understand what was happening. But I didn't want to go back to the torment. I mean, I wasn't free yet. Does everybody understand? I wasn't free yet. I was managing those demons, because when I'd walk by a phone booth, I'd start to shake. Those demons said, come on, make that call. And I go, no, I'd walk away from that phone booth. I didn't want to go outside. And I finally went to church. And I heard a message about salvation. And I went home, got saved, filled, delivered, and healed. That was it. The truth set me free. And as long as you walk in truth and practice truth, you'll maintain freedom. The moment you stop practicing truth, you've just opened yourself up to the devil. And he is looking for that area where he can deceive you again, where he can trick you. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah! Is it hot in here, or is it you? Praise God. Whew. Man. Obviously it's me. Out of the mouth of two, right? It says that's it. So it must be me. Okay, I'm hot. Praise God. I'm cooking. If you smell my flesh, thank God. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Glory. Would you all read it with me, please? Thank you, Michael. Somebody loves me. All right, the rest of you put jackets on. No. It's a good day to die, isn't it? I didn't say it was a good day to cook. Glory. Let's start verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of who? Themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Anybody ever manifested any of those fruits? Don't lie now. Some of y'all lift up both legs, I'm telling you. Become lovers of deception. Dangers of not knowing the truth is they become lovers of deception and don't even know it. They become lovers of self. They are danger to others. They become corrupt minds. Desire of only fulfilling the flesh. And they can never be fulfilled. No matter what job they go to, how much money they make, how many relations they've had. They can never be fulfilled. Never. Let's go a little further. Look at. For this sort are those who creep into ministries and make captives of gullible men and women, load them down with sins, led away by various what? Lusts. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, which will what? Set them free. There's always a block there. There's that block there. There's that deception. There's an area where they don't want to be free. They may confess it. They do everything they can, but they're really not willing to do whatever it takes to be free. See, we get many people that come up, especially in our discipleship, and they come up, yeah, we want to be free. I want to be free, willing to do whatever it takes. Yes, the first week they're there, they're grumbling and complaining. They want to do it their way. Hello. We had a guy the other day that showed up. He just showed up. He wasn't there, but he showed up. He figured he'd have his last fill of getting high before he came into the discipleship house. And Wade was out there talking with him, and I happened to pull up. And so I was going to go in the house, and I was like, no, I better go over there and see what's up. And I walked over, and this guy's eyes are rolling in his head, and he's swaying. He looked like he'd been shipwrecked. I said, so, you willing to do whatever it takes? Yeah. I said, so, when's the last time you used? Oh, a few days ago. Oh. I said, well, what do y'all know? Nothing. I said, you always act like this. He said, oh, I had a couple of joints. I said, two joints don't do that. Believe me, I've been there. Anyways, well, you know, I said, man, don't be lying to me. I said, you ain't ready. If you've got to go out and get your last fill before you go into a drug program, you ain't ready. Go eat some more dirt. And I told his father, quit rescuing him. Let him go to the streets, to the garbage can, and to the pit if he's got to. That's how the prodigal son came out, didn't he? He was eating pig food. And he finally came out. Boom. He said, man, I don't want this no more. Amen. Some of us had to go through the same thing. That kid was deceived. There was a danger of not knowing the truth. He wasn't ready yet. They're having fun back there, aren't they? Praise God. At least they're not making popcorn and getting us hungry, right? Not yet. Don't say that. Don't speak it in, man. So people come to a point where they're learning, but they're not practicing the truth. They got a bunch of head knowledge, but they don't think it's for them. They think it's for everybody else. Amen? That's not for me. It's for somebody else. Praise God. Go to Hebrews 8. The Bible says that then you will never progress any further either. Hebrews chapter 8. Is everybody all right? Dangers of not knowing the truth. It's dangerous. Again, the worst thing is not to practice the truth when you know it. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. It says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And that, he says, a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So you and I know that we are in a new covenant. Amen? And individuals who are not walking in the truth will never know the true meaning of covenant or commitment. That's why people who are out there married, well, if it doesn't go right, just divorce and go on to another. Amen? Well, just divorce and go on to another. And I'm telling you, the religious sect in the body of Christ walks in that same old carnal understanding. I have counseled with people who are going to divorce and so forth. And the only reason why they were getting a divorce was for stupid stuff. There wasn't even, you know, things that they shouldn't have caused divorce. But they just felt that they weren't adequate for one another. So they're, well, we're going to get divorced. Well, God hates divorce. Well, why don't you try to work it out? Both of you get counsel. Well, we're just tired of it. I just think that there's somebody else better for me. See, they don't understand the true meaning of covenant. True meaning of commitment to one another. The true meaning of making a vow. The true understanding of the fear and reverence of God Almighty. By breaking that vow, what are the consequences? They look only in the natural arena, in the natural state. They don't look in the spiritual truth. That's why they can't be free and they walk in torment. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27. They don't know the dangers of knowing the truth. They don't know the dangers of being cursed. People don't know the truth. They don't know the dangers of being cursed. In verse 14, would you read it with me? And the Levite shall speak with a loud voice and say to all men of Israel, Cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and sets it up in secret. You know how many people worship material? It's the same thing. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. Curses the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. Curses the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Curses the one who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. Curses the one who lies with any kind of animal. Curses the one who lies with his sister and daughter of his father, or daughter of his mother. That brings ancestral curses, doesn't it? These things are things that bring curses not only in an individual, but down the family line. Curses the one who lies with his mother-in-law. Curses the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. Curses the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. Curse is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law by observing them. Curse. Go to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 20. I'm just going to skip around a little bit here. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. Wow. Go to verse 25. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Verse 27. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. And verse 45. Moreover, all of these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and wonder, and on your descendants forever, ancestral curses. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar and from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand. Now these are things of disobedience, isn't it? These are curses that come on individuals. Now you may say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, let me share something with you. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament, but these curses are still coming down, aren't they? He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the ordinances. He fulfilled all the things that rescue you from death, hell, and the grave. Amen? But it's your responsibility to break the curses off everywhere else. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Deuteronomy 28 in verse 1. Look at the blessings. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face, and they shall come out against you one way, and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, and in all which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, in other words, because you'll do them. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock, and the produce on the ground and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain and your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So we see that there's danger in not knowing the truth, isn't there? Amen. And there's also danger in not obeying the truth. But there is blessings when you do. One of the worst things that we can be is an individual that knows the truth but refuses to submit and obey God's will. Amen. Go to Hebrews 10. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. Dangers of not knowing the truth. You know how many people don't know the truth out there? So you think it's your responsibility to tell them? Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. Hebrews 10, 26. All glory to God. Would you read it with me? For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, nobody can ever escape judgment. Nobody escapes it. Nobody. Everybody will be judged. You'll be either judged by works, hello, and rewarded, amen, or you'll be judged according to the law for those who are not in Christ. But nobody escapes. Is everybody with me? That's willfully disobeying. You know, when people willfully disobey, they know they're expecting something to happen. They do. They think they can get away with it for so long. The devil tells them and deceives them and says, "Listen, I need to get back in soon. As soon as I stop disobeying for a while. As soon as I stop fulfilling my flesh." But there still is the reaping to it, isn't there? In every area. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. So that, you know, I mean, you can talk to many people out there and you'll say, "So where do you think you go after you die?" "Oh, nowhere. Just into the dust and that's it, so I better get all my fill while I can." No, yeah, you know. But yet, you know what the one thing is they fear death. Wonder why they fear death. You think that may be a little character of God that says you better fear death? You better fear where you're going. But when you are a believer and you're walking upright, you don't need to fear death. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 5, and start at verse 6. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he" what? "Cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he's going to devour." He's looking for the opportunity. It says, "Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Now listen. Not knowing the truth, then the danger of it, as individuals who do not know the truth, they try to work out their own problems. They're always trying to work out their own problems. The first thing is trying to work out their own problem. They're looking for carnal help, which actually produces fear. Amen. The other thing is, there's no realization that another force or unseen force is affecting them. There's no realization. And let me tell you something. There are many believers who do not have a realization that the unseen force of darkness is affecting them. They're still looking at the carnal arena. They're blaming everybody else for their stuff, for their circumstances, instead of the realization that they are out of position and the powers of darkness have access to them. Amen. No realization that another force or unseen force is trying to use them or lure others away from God and kill them. Remember, the Bible says that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. They have no understanding of the weapons to fight back, or that there are weapons granted to them to fight back. Amen? That's the dangers of not knowing the truth, isn't it? And they have no realization that others are going through the same thing they are. Amen? I mean, you know, how many times did the devil convince you, "Well, it's only me. Why does this only happen to me?" Let me tell you, there's probably about four or five people on the same block it's happening to. Amen. Go to Psalm 16. You all right? Praise God. You know, an individual who does not know the truth will never have the pleasure of casting out a devil. They'll never have the pleasure of laying hands on someone who's sick and watching them get healed. They'll never have the pleasure of visions and dreams, visitations. The only pleasure that they know is what they can bring to themselves through the world. They'll never have the pleasure of watching God's hand move on their behalf. It still blows my mind. In Psalm 16, and in verse, let's see. Go to verse 11. It says, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is what? Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." They'll never know the true meaning of joy, because joy only comes from the presence of God. The only joy that they'll look for is the things that they can remember of the wrong things they've done and got away with, the ungodly things that they joke about. "Hey, do you remember when you saw Joe last night? Yeah, he walked right into that pole. Wasn't that funny? Why did he walk in a pole? Because he just drank two bottles of tequila." Or whatever. You know, these are joys that they reminisce of things that they did according to ungodliness. But they'll never know the full joy that's in the presence of God. That's a terrible way to live. Amen? The Bible tells us to count it all joy as you go through trials and tribulations. They'll never know that joy that God is the rescuer. That if God be with you, who can be against you? Amen. That the Lord delights in delivering his children. He says that there'll be many afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all of them. They'll know the comfort of the scriptures, or the comforter, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They'll never know those things. And how are they going to know them? Through you. Through you. But first you must walk it. Not just talk it. You must walk it so that others can see. See, God knows what goes behind closed doors. Amen. They'll never know about being a part of the body of Christ. Not an organization, but a living organism. Amen. They'll never know that. They'll never know the rewards in the marriage of the King of Kings. They'll never know the awesomeness of what awaits them. They'll never know these things unless somebody tells them. That's why you're here today. But you must first walk it before you talk it. Actions are a lot better than words. There's a lot of people that proclaim, but they defame. Amen. God knows the individual. God knows exactly what's going on. You cannot hide anything from him. That's another thing that is amazing. See, the area of worldliness is selfishness. The only thing that they do things is for self. Whether for self-fulfillment. There are people who go out and help people to feel good about themselves. And don't get me wrong. But there's an area where pride begins to manifest because they're out helping people. You know, when individuals backslide and go back to using drugs and alcohol and go back into the world and fornication, it's because they still want to fulfill themselves, because such selfishness is there. They lose sight of what damage goes to their family, to their children. And because of that, they're a danger to themselves and to their children and their families. Does everybody understand? Because it's amazing that an individual make that choice. You know, God always makes a way of escape. Always. To where an individual bring accursed items into a house and bring danger to their loved ones, to their family. All for self-fulfillment because of something they want. Or they'll go out and do something goofy because it's something they want. They'll disobey anything because it's something that they want. Or they just believe that they can do what they want. That is a deception from hell. And it's not wisdom from above, it's wisdom from beneath, and it's demonic. Because wisdom tells you what to do. We are in an area and a stage of events that is overwhelming. We see the things happening. Your fight is going to be harder today than it was yesterday. And it'll be harder tomorrow than it is today. Selfishness is an area where individuals don't care about others. They speak it, but they don't act it. They speak it, but they don't obey the things of God or authority. That is selfishness. And that's according to the rule of the world. That's danger of not knowing the truth. And dangerous to know the truth and not obey it. Amen. That's why the Bible says expose it. Why? Why are you exposing something? Not to bring harm to the person, but to bring harm to the darkness. To take a chunk out of darkness and bring light there. The more we diminish darkness, the more light shines. Amen. What an honor it is to know the truth. But far be it that we should not walk it and practice it and put it in our life. Without the truth, there is no life. It's our responsibility to know the truth and to do it. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word today. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Master, for your forgiveness in every area where we have known the truth and not walked it. We understand the dangers of not knowing the truth, Lord. And we understand the commission that because we know the truth, that we must declare the truth. Not about words, but about actions. So, Lord, we prepare our hearts this morning and take communion with you. You said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall eternal life. Jesus, forgive us. Have mercy upon us. And grant us the place of position where your will be fulfilled in us and through us. And that your kingdom will be manifested. That we'll be carriers of the truth. Practicers of the truth. Expressions of the truth. And manifestations of the truth. And that you would be glorified in these lives that are in this room today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.